everybody. Welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. It's me, Adam Hunter. I have the legend, Eves Edwards, in the house.
What's going on, man? I was saying bye to Joe.
Joe, the sound guy, came. He's leaving. He has school, so we can't hear any more of his crazy sex stories, which I know you'll like, but we promise you'll come back soon, right? And tell us all about it.
Next week.
CB Gold's in the house. How are you, buddy?
What's going on, guys?
Greg Wilson is coming. And he's coming.
Kind of personal.
Yeah, he's coming soon. I'm sure he's coming. But and then also we have Eddie Alvarez on the podcast, the champion. How cool is that? We have the guy who's headlining the best card of all time,
the biggest fight card ever. Too,
it's unbelievable. I mean, they really did. I can't wait for 205. It kind of sucks for all the UFCs before that. You know, and there's only one now, but for the last couple ones, because you're like, okay, UFC Portland, yay! But then you see like a 205 is so fucking stacked. Although people are saying wait till USADA gets a hold of this card. So who knows? Hopefully not yet. But
UFC 205 is so big that other companies are conceding and changing their event dates because they know that they don't have a shot.
And what you're talking about is World Series of Fighting, which I think we should take credit for. Not that we want them to, I wish World Series of Fighting all. I love Ray. I love those guys over there. But they were going head to head against UFC 205 with John Fitch and Jake Shields and Okami versus Paul Bradley. And now they said, you know what, this is probably not the best idea. So
you couldn't see Eve's face, but that was probably the best like reaction in terms of physical interaction.
It was unbelievable. Like so like I said, Greg Wilson just showed up. So UFC 205, so now they're stacking the New Year's card
event at a little theater inside of Madison Square Garden that seats about 4,000 people.
Which will be cool. It should be really cool.
It's a much better idea. Three title fights, great prelim card. Looking forward to it. It's a lot better, more stacked. You got Gaethje on there and Marlon Moraes, which are their two biggest draws, which kind of like supplements the Jake Shields John Fitch fight, because I think that as a main event is a little rough to do. So
right,
it could also be a big deal for them too to do it after the UFC comes to town. I mean, there are going to be tons of people that can't get tickets to that UFC event in New York, and they still may be hungry for some MMA.
Right, they still have a hard on for some live fighting.
And also, Fitch and Shields is a great fight. I mean, 5 years ago, that was a main event fight night card. I mean, and even now, those guys, you put Jake Shields or Josh Fitch against anybody in the UFC at 170, it's a competitive fight, and they probably could beat most guys in the top 10. So, you know, they're right there.
Well, plus the fact that, you know, the UFC has decided that their New Year's event is going to be on a Friday because they didn't want to put it on New Year's Eve. So WSOF will be the night after. It will be Saturday night on New Year's Eve, and it's a nice little compliment. So they're not going up against the UFC again. They decided to, you know, do it the day after, and like you said, it could be good for them in New York.
You know what I feel sorry for? I always feel sorry for those college football teams that have to play on New Year's Day.
Why?
Because they don't get to enjoy New Year's Eve. Their coaches are like, you're in bed by 9. We're coming around checking
the fucking
around.
They have the rest of their lives to...
It doesn't matter. It's a young guy. You know what I mean? These are college guys. And they're like, no, you cannot. You go to sleep.
You go out and win a bowl game. The next day you're enjoying, or that night.
Yeah, you get to go out. Nobody's out. And you're like, yay, we won, guys. Let's fuck each other.
We'll let you party enough for all the teams.
I do it for the college kids that can't and for our troops.
And you will.
Because a lot of those guys are going to make so much money, they get to be kids for a long time.
Exactly.
Not a lot of them. Yeah. For most of them, it's just the memory of playing.
Not most of them, but I mean, a lot of them in those games.
Are going to go on.
Enough of them. Now, I just got back from Tennessee.
Yeah, how was that?
The shows were great. I had a good time. It was in Chattanooga. They moved the club, and back before the club was like, it's funny because, you know, they moved the club to a place, more of a rock and roll venue, where it's high ceilings and a high stage, which is always bad for comedy. You always want low ceilings, low stage, because sometimes the laughs go up.
Yes, that's exactly right.
And you don't hear it. So a lot of times you're doing better than you think you are. And after the show, people are like, that was the funniest show ever. And you're like, oh, I thought that was an average set, which happened a couple times. But I was like, man, I don't know. But it was, people were like,
is this some strange humble brag right
now? No, it was.
I didn't even think it was that great, but these people were like jizzing in their pants.
No, you had those sets
before.
And
I'm like, you got to see me when I really can.
Listen, douche, you've had those sets before.
That's what it felt like. like though, right, guys? I'm not wrong. Right?
No, I felt like you interrupted. But you've had those sets before where like you think you murdered or you think you had an okay set after people are like, dude, when are you coming back? That was so funny. Or they're buying shit. And there are other sets where you murdered, but you sell nothing, or you sell
absolutely.
No merchandise.
But that's just weird when they're like, oh, that show was so amazing. That's enough for me. No, no merch, please.
Sometimes that's happened.
That
before.
Happens, yes.
So Tennessee was good. There was one show I did where this guy, it was an early 8 o'clock show, and there was this couple there, and the girl was like almost passed out, lying on her boyfriend. They're making out, right? Or her husband. They're full on making out. He's basically finger banging her, and I'm on stage going like, is my comedy making you that horny? Like, what the hell is going on? So everyone's laughing because people around them are dying
they
laughing.
They should be loving it. Yeah.
And I'm doing like play by play on like how. And then the guy looks up and goes, "Hey, why don't you go suck an N-word dick?" That's what he says to me. Like. I was like,
wait, but he said N-word?
No,
or he said the N-word?
No, he said the N-word. I'm not going to.
Whoa,
yeah.
That requires clarification.
Yes.
Because it's, I mean, one's bad and one's really like, he's going to get knocked the fuck out bad.
Well, luckily I didn't hear it. Okay. I actually, because people told me afterwards what he said. Like he was so drunk that he kind of slurred it. I was in Chattanooga, and it was called the choo-choo section. So there were trains everywhere.
Okay.
Like the hotel was a train. There was diners. It was just trains everywhere. Oh. So I'm like,
sounds horrible. It sounds like labored.
It's one of those novelty towns.
Totally.
No, it was
like
cool.
Trying so hard, like
No, but there was a really cool like rock venue next door where like Rusted Root played Saturday night.
Was it called All Aboard?
And then like Waka Flocka was there. So I'm like,
was he really?
Yeah. But he wasn't there without. He was there a couple weeks before.
Did he have to wear overalls and a big puffy hat?
No. So I'm walking right while periscoping on Saturday before the show. I'm talking to everybody. People are making jokes, and then I like hit this thing while I was walking, and my knee gave out. Of course, I fell.
Oh.
So like my bad knee, my ACL knee. So then I was like, oh, then I kind of busted my knee. And then that night after the show, I do a show and I'm walking off stage and I tripped and fell off stage. It was just like,
what is going on with
you? I don't know. I became like a Marx brother all of a sudden.
Buster Keaton, Charlie Chaplin.
Buster Keaton. Yeah, I kept falling down.
Early set Alzheimer's.
Yes, exactly. So that was.
You think it has anything to do with the 3 weeks of stand up comedy he did right after the surgery?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, you think maybe if he'd let it strengthen and heal correctly, that would have happened?
Maybe. Mm. It might have happened. So
we'll leave that up to our listeners to decide.
And then, yesterday I ended up driving from Tennessee to Atlanta, flew to Atlanta at like 7 in the morning, right? Then I came here, got to LA, then I practiced coach wrestling, went right to wrestling, took my dog home, then I went right to the dime bar last night. Then my fiance is like, you spent no time with me, blah, blah, blah. So, I mean, I like love her. So I went and go saw her. Woke up this morning, shot a
sketch. She's like in Long Beach,
here.
Right?
She's in Culver City. Yeah,
Culver City. Oh, that's not that.
That's
bad.
Not too bad.
45 minutes.
So Long Beach is much worse.
Yeah. So it's been kind of a, anyway. How are you doing?
I'm good, man. My club story isn't quite like yours.
Yes.
Mine has heart.
Okay.
no car.
Well, it isn't all aboard, eh? Welcome to Chattanooga.
All right, go on.
You're in the choo-choo room.
Yeah.
Later on, I'm gonna fuck you in the caboose. You know, Eve, it's okay to laugh out loud. That's kind of the part of the show.
All right, go on.
So what happened was, I did three amazing shows. I was spectacular. But, yes, and, you know, listen, I'm not like you. I give them what they deserve. I think
what,
you said
cocaine?
Earlier you could have done better.
No, I didn't say that. Right,
you said earlier I didn't even do that good. Like,
no, I didn't
trying.
Say that. Go on.
I barely even showed up. All I'm
right.
kidding. I'm just busting your balls. So, but I did. So the show's went great. So afterwards, one of the guys comes up to me and he goes, you know, so on my website, I have this reel of, it's just like audience reactions, you know, of and things that people have said to me after shows. And it's always people like, you're the greatest, whatever. So, and one of them is this woman going, 3 years I've been coming to this club and you're the best. You're the best I've ever seen. So this guy comes up to me after the show, and do you not hear that often?
I hear it
all the time. Anyways,
I don't repeat it, but go on.
Okay, I don't. That's why I have them repeat it, and I put it in the video.
Oh, good. Gotcha.
So this guy comes up to me after the show, and he goes, you know, in your demo reel, that woman saying that she's been coming to this club for 3 years, he goes, that was my wife, and she died 2 months ago.
Oh, man.
I know. And I'm like... I'm like, oh man, well, she was a great lady. She was a sweet lady. And he goes, well, you don't have to say that. And then, right? And I'm thinking, why was she a bitch or something? And you're like, are you like, listen, it's been great. I'm watching all the shows I like. Like, I have no idea. But he did actually start tearing up. And he says to me, he says, he goes, I actually go to your website and watch that video all the time.
Oh, wow.
So, so it was very heartwarming. He goes, I wanted to come see you tonight because you were her favorite comic and, you know, and all that business. So it was really very nice. And it kind of really, you know, and it happens sometimes.
Was she the girl whose asshole you ate the coke out of?
Yeah, that's exactly what
I was just about to ask. I was just about to ask if he deleted the pictures of him motorboating her.
No. It was the girl that showed her puss on stage. It was that girl.
You had a girl do that?
Yeah.
When was that?
If you go to my YouTube, I have a video called, there's a video called Greg Wilson Gonzo. And at the end, it ends with the clip of her coming on stage and pulling down her pants and showing her puss.
Wow.
Wouldn't the coming be after she showed her pussy?
On YouTube? Yeah,
it's on YouTube.
They let that on YouTube?
Well, no one's noticed yet. No one's flagged it. It's buried very deep.
Eves, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Just moved out of Pasadena, moved into Eagle Rock.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
So I'm liking it. It's a little different. It's more of a suburb kind of town, homes rather than apartments. I was in Old Town, so
yeah.
That's nice. But I'm liking it, doing some new things. Still doing my podcast over at Sure Dog, trying to do something else with it, and just having a good time.
You're doing a great job on Fox, by the way.
Thank you,
man.
They
should always put you on Fox.
I want to be back on. I'm back on for the Tony Ferguson RDA fight.
Nice. Mexico City.
Yep. I'm broadcasting from here in the studio, but
I was gonna say, do you get to go there? You do the studio here. The studio here,
which I'm cool with because I'm not a fan of going to Mexico City, right. All the smog and everything else. I'm trying to be nice, but
now when you watch the fights, like when you have a brand new guy,
oh, that's right, I'm Mexican. I'm supposed to. Yes, go ahead.
When you have a guy making his UFC debut. Do you go back and like watch like three or four of the guys' fights, or
I try to sometimes. You know, it's hard to find some of these guys' fights if they're not on YouTube or they're, you know, you can't find them by just searching their name. But I end up sometimes watching a whole event or just scanning through a whole event to try to find that guy. Sometimes it's hard, though, because especially if their picture's not on SureDog and I don't know the name and I can't find a picture of the guy. I guess it's not super difficult, but I mean, you got to do a lot of Googling.
At that point, you got to be like, how did this guy get this fight?
Haven't you asked that question a lot about
that's
a lot
true,
of people?
Listen,
you know,
yeah,
see?
Yeah.
And what's up with you?
Not much, man. Spent a few days in Mammoth. It was raining up there. And then, of course, the morning after I leave, they get like 8 inches of snow at the base and 2 feet on the top. But
is that what you wanted, snow?
Well, no, my mom wanted snow because she's ready to go skiing. The season opens November 10th. Which they're leaving. I'm not, of course, because I will not miss 205. So right. I'll be leaving a few days after that. But
What did you do in Mammoth?
Well,
I was actually going to incriminate myself right now.
Oh, go on.
Speaking of RDA, he was up there training.
Nice.
And he was training in elevation. It's 11,000 feet up there. And he was training at Hoist's Jiu-Jitsu studio and training in.
Did you meet him?
On one of the hiking trails. I didn't see him.
Did you look?
It was hard to see him from around his balls because I was actually sleeping in his cup. And it was weird because my mom kept saying, I want to spend time with you, but I was out in RDA's pants waiting to grab him.
You slept in his cup?
I slept in his cup, cradled in the taint. He's surprisingly soft balls.
Wow, that's amazing.
Very soft balls.
That's wow.
I made an imprint on canvas that I'm going to sell exclusively on CB's Golden Cult Pawn Shop and Golden Art Store.
How did his balls smell?
Like cocoa butter.
Oh, yeah. That's good. Nice.
But well, I was the one that brought the cocoa butter.
That's awesome. Well, good for you. I'm happy.
I make it myself out of the blood of the children that I steal.
Wow, you steal kids. Wow. You know what, CB? You always have the best stories.
What can I say? I have nothing to do in that basement.
There you go. All right.
Really, Adam, I thought I had the best stories, but it's no big deal if you just want to give it away to
we have to have Joe
else.
Moore on the podcast before we do him.
Yeah, what's with Joe? He keeps skipping out. He's got some weird
college.
Ass shit to go
in
do.
College. Now
he's
got to go court another high school girl.
Exactly.
By the way, I've been watching this new Netflix show I watched last night, Cage. What's that?
Oh yeah, Luke Cage.
Luke Cage is awesome.
I haven't watched it yet.
Have you watched it?
Yeah, I grew up on comic books, so I like the fact that Netflix is just going after all these low level superheroes.
He's great. Yeah. He's my new favorite superhero. Dude's a fucking badass.
I tell you, I grew up with comics too, but I'd be in the comic store going, "Who's reading this other shit?"
It was Ease.
Exactly. I read only X Men and like Dark Knight when the Dark Knight novels, the graphic novels started coming out. I got really into graphic novels and the whole. And that thing, but the smaller name ones, I was always like, who the fuck is?
Yeah.
You can't even trade these. You can't sell them. Like they had no value.
Well, Luke Cage, say that, but they're good, man. I
can see it now. Yeah.
I love Luke Cage. What a badass!
Wait till they bring Iron Fist. You're gonna like that too.
Oh, good.
They're doing Iron Fist in their team, so ultimately, I'm sure they'll hook up.
I had no idea.
Iron Fist is actually already available on Brazzers.com, so you can check out the original Iron Fist.
Speaking of which, last night Dime Bar came. We did a Dime Bar.
How was your first Monday?
Packed. And great. Actually, Sylvia Sage, who's a porn star and a comedian, she brought a bunch of her porn star friends.
Was this one of those nights where you were like, why am I engaged?
No, not at all.
That felt like a yes. Did you hear that? No.
Does her jokes, not jokes, but do her careers ever intersect? Like, does she ever do comedy when she's doing porn?
No, but she talks about being a porn star from the stage, obviously, and like does it in a way where it's kind of dark and like sad but kind of funny.
She's been on your show before.
Yeah. It's pretty good. It's actually different because I've seen porn stars do comedy where it's like I like taking loads to the face where it's all like okay, where she talks about like she's a little bit angry, but I like it. That's what makes
it. She's like angry at the dick. You know what I mean? Like she likes the dick, but she's mad at it. Yeah. I don't know. I think we could all speculate on where that kind of attitude comes from.
She could do like a BBC comedy special.
But she BBC. The first one released exclusively on YouPorn.
On YouJizz. Much better.
Okay.
All right, now.
Much better. Download time's twice as fast.
Now, let's talk about fighting for a second. GSP yesterday announced he's a free agent, which, you know, it seems like... I don't know. It seems like it seems like the UFC right now is in some kind of a weird crossroads where they're putting on the best fight card of all time in 205, yet...
Joe Silva's leaving.
Now Sean Shelby left.
Sean Shelby, Dave Schaller.
Oh, Dave Schaller left.
He got hired by the Philadelphia 76ers.
Yeah, he left. And now I guess they're saying, according to the Underground, that William Morris is bringing in a lot of their own people.
They're cutting 15%.
So they don't know who's staying, who's not. I'm working at Bellator now. Super happy about that. They're treating me very, very well. Tomorrow, actually, the new... Phil Davis campaign that I'm doing is coming out. I'm really excited about that.
Listen, congratulations, because guess what? GSP just joined Bellator.
He might.
He's not actually a free agent.
He's not.
Dana refuted it and said that we have not released him. We're still trying to negotiate with him, but his contract has not been terminated. We're going to try and make a deal with him. So they're going to try and see if they can get him a fight, but it's going to have to be big money, big opponent.
May have been his way of getting his attention.
Yeah, but
he probably got tired of a lot of unreturned phone calls and was like, fuck it, I'll just declare myself a free agent and then it's his.
Well, there was a rumor that he wanted $10 million for a fight, and then he's like, no, that's not true. And in terms of other major name wannabe free agents, what's the date today? Yeah, Jose Aldo is meeting with Dana tomorrow with Andre Pettineris in Vegas, and they're going to try and square away that
situation. Well, I would love it for Bellator if GSP came over and
they got the money.
And Aldo came over. That would just be awesome.
That would be a game changer.
Right?
Aldo to some degree. I mean, after they picked up Rory, and they picked up Rory, and then GSP and Aldo leaving with the belt while he's holding the title, and then GSP, that name.
It would be amazing. And, I think they have the money to pay him, the Viacom money, and I think it would just be great because, you know, the problem, you know, Bellator has sometimes is like, some of the guys that come over, like Rory is amazing, you know, but Rory lost to...
Wonderboy.
To Lawler and Wonderboy. So you could say, okay, well, he's the third best. They need a guy that they could claim is the best guy in the world. You could, right now, MVP might be that guy. He hasn't lost, but he hasn't fought the competition where, you know, and then the 35, Don, who's the champion at 45?
At 35 or?
At 45.
At 45 is Daniel Strauss.
Daniel Almost Strauss. Back. I mean, Strauss is amazing. I mean, Chandler's. You could argue Chandler. I mean, beat Eddie Alvarez.
Yep.
But they need that guy. They need that guy who's the best in the world, and they don't have that guy right now. They might, but if GSP comes over, you could claim GSP's the best in the world.
That's the biggest guy in the company if he comes over.
Yeah.
But with Aldo, there's two little things about it that I've read that he has said. Number one, he wants his release. And he does not want to fight anymore, from what I have read. Not sure if that's 100% true. But the funnier part was Aldo has said if Dana makes him fight or finish out his contract, he's going to tap as soon as the bell rings and just start giving away fights.
That would be the worst thing for the sport.
Oh, of course. But it's like one giant fuck you.
I don't think he could actually do that, though.
I mean, technically he could.
No,
I mean,
technically sure,
he could, but it's like...
But any real fighter, I don't think, when actually getting in the ring would... Could do that.
Yeah, but I can see him getting to the point where he's just like, fuck it. I'm done.
Really?
I'm done with these guys. I mean, think about human nature, right? He can be pissed enough that he's just like, I don't want to do anything with you guys anymore, and this is the only way for me to get out. Fuck it, I'm out of here.
That would look like the worst wrestling, like stage wrestling match ever. The other guy just walks out and lays down.
It's happened before. I've seen it happen before.
In wrestling, yeah. It has happened.
I've seen it happen
before,
in MMA.
Yeah, I saw it on Access TV. The guy was beating another guy up really bad, and then he was like, this doesn't make sense. This guy's not going to quit. He quit so that he wouldn't.
Yeah, the ref wouldn't stop it.
Right. So the guy that was winning quit.
Yeah. Wow. That was crazy.
That's weird. I bet
also,
he regrets that, though.
Also,
somewhere he's in a bar going, why the fuck did I quit?
I could have gotten
UFC.
Also, a really exciting fight is Alan Jouban.
Yeah.
And Mike Perry.
And Mike Perry.
Yeah. Fuck. I'm like a little nervous for Alan on that one because Perry's a fucking psycho, dude.
You know what, though? This guy, Mike Perry, you know, he comes out there. He put on... Pics of him on Instagram and like blackface. I mean, I don't know what his deal is. And then he actually wrote the N word, but he put AS. He didn't use the, you know.
Niggas.
Yeah, that's what, right. So, and
he also, his cornerman got kicked, got booted from weigh-ins. Because
yeah,
from the first fight when he was talking shit about the Koreans, and then his next fight when he just fought Danny Roberts, Alex Nicholson wasn't allowed to corner.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of this Mike Perry guy. I understand you're trying to make a name for yourself, but I think there's ways to do it, and then there's just like being an attention whore.
Let your fighting speak for you.
And I hope Alan fucks this guy up, honestly.
I think Alan would be better in the wrestling and on the ground. I think on the feet, Mike just doesn't stop swinging.
No, I think it's the opposite. I mean, 10th Planet on the ground, sure. I think... Alan, but Alan's striking. He's had like 15 or 16 Muay Thai fights before.
His striking is great, but you've seen even when Tumanov was coming in on him and just throwing wild shots that one landed and it was over for Alan. Whereas, you know, Mike Perry took everything Danny Roberts had and just kept coming forward and swinging like he had never
swung
before.
Danny Roberts is not Alan Jouban.
No, I know that. This is a huge step up in competition, but I'm saying I think Alan's advantage is definitely in the wrestling and on the ground. Not saying his striking is bad. I'm not at all.
I think Mike Perry was a college wrestler.
But Mike Perry swings wildly. He's got power. And that's the only thing that worries me because we have seen Alan get knocked out.
I like those dudes from Louisiana, though. Like, all those dudes from Lafayette are tough.
Yeah, it's true. I know. Maybe because they're...
It's the gator wrestling.
It's something. Something about Louisiana. Yeah. Louisiana.
If you can wrestle a gator, you can wrestle a man.
When I went to Mardi Gras, that was the most fucked up police force I've ever seen in my life, was the Louisiana police force. I mean, they literally were just locking people up, and then you would pay them off, and they let you out. It was like third world country shit. That's why when like Katrina happened, and like half the police just quit, they're like, fuck this, we quit. Like that wouldn't happen in New York or other police forces. I mean, I don't know, man. I don't know. It was crazy. I never saw anybody just be able to buy them way out of jail, like in Louisiana.
Well, it's not like real jail. It's a cage they have in like the middle, in the median, that they throw drunks in when they're making a mess.
Yeah, but you still,
and your friends
still
have to come and get jailed.
But it wasn't like that. It was like, hey, give me money like under the books and get out.
Well, I mean, they're just making money. What are you going to do?
All right, we're calling Eddie Alvarez right now. I hope we got
a
good
Mardi Gras.
Come on.
You're not supposed to be showing your tits either, but that happens. Yeah, nobody's complaining against that, about that.
That's why people were getting locked up.
That's actually what started Girls Gone Wild. Do you remember that? At the very beginning of Girls Gone Wild, it was just footage of girls showing their tits at Mardi Gras. And then, of course, it blew up from there.
No, actually what happened was that guy from Girls Gone Wild, Joe Francis, he was working for that company called 2 two words, like where people get hit by trains and shit, like the, you know, like
that
infomercial,
the,
like
Faces of Death,
that. And then people were sending in naked pictures, videos of people naked, and then he just was like, they couldn't use it, and he was like, oh, there's a market for this, and then made his money through that.
Yeah,
that guy was a scumbag.
Well, I mean, a lot of bad things happened to him from all that shit. So.
Yeah.
Have you guys heard?
Hey, Eddie Alvarez. Hey, you're on the MMA Roasted Podcast. It is me, Adam Hunter. I'm here with Eves Edwards, V. Greg Wilson, and CB Gold. How are you?
What's up, brother?
What's up, man? Listen, congratulations, man. I'm so excited for your fight against Conor McGregor. Biggest fight of all time.
I'm through the roof. We only got 25 days left and counting. And we're fucking ready, dude. Let's smash this dude up. It'll be fun.
I'm so happy for you, man. Now, how much has your life changed since the Dos Anjos fight?
My life don't change. I win fights. Nothing changes. People give me free shit now. Everybody wants to give me something for free. So I get a lot of free stuff. But other than that, I don't think it's changed much. Still the same person. Still the same guy.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying being a champion now. Feels
good, man. I mean, you've earned it, dude. If anybody, you're a guy who, like, hard work pays off. You know, you put your head down. Every one of your fights is very exciting, and I'm really, really happy for you, man. In that first fight, when you had him hurt, were you worried about gassing out at all?
I think I had him hurt, and it was like every fight is a risk reward. Whenever you make a movement or do anything, it's how much damage am I going to get for this movement? That's what I'm always assessing in a fight. Whenever I'm fighting, how much damage am I going to get for each movement? And I think in that case, when you get a guy of that caliber hurt in that way, I seen his eyes kind of go. You got to go in because it's rare that a guy like that will make a mistake or you're able to get him on wobbly legs. So it's just kind of, I guess if you're playing poker and you got kings, then you go all in, you know. So I was all in with kings, not necessarily aces, and I decided to make the move.
Oh, it was awesome, dude. It was unbelievable. I ran into you right after that, and you had a big smile on your face. It was cool to see, man. Now, Conor McGregor, how did that happen? As far as like, was he the only fight offered to you?
Well, first of all,
Eddie.
Well, I'm here. I made that fight happen. I'm the one who made the Conor McGregor fight happen. He didn't ever have an intention to fight me or want to fight me. Every time I said his name, I didn't get any response. I didn't get anything. You know, this is a guy who responds to everyone and talks shit about everyone and talks shit on everyone. But every time I would try to go to media and try to drum up a fight or something like that, there'd be no response. So it was obvious that they really didn't want this fight. And it wasn't until, you know, we won the belt, and then now they want a crack at getting the belt. And you know, I when I joined the UFC, I fought the best guys in the division back to back to back, and that was my strategy fighting. And I just told, you know, I told the media, I got tired of being asked about Conor McGregor, so I told the media that I can use an easier fight, and then that's why this fight happened.
So that's pretty cool. I mean, Eves, anything for Eddie?
Yo, Eddie, what's going on, man? I got your message yesterday, man. I messaged you back, but I haven't heard back from you, so I'm going to bother you about that later, but...
Okay, sweet.
We talked about this before, about Conor and the first fight with Nate, and how when he got hurt, he wanted out, right? But the second fight, he looked better. He fought through it. He ran a little bit, but he stayed in there. You think you can break him again?
Yeah, I mean, look, we all have a spirit for certain aspects of the sport. So, like, when we stand up, there's certain guys who are confident and they have a strong spirit for stand up.
Yeah.
And then when the fight hits the ground, there's other guys who are confident and have a strong spirit for the ground. They can fight there longer. They feel more comfortable. So the idea of a mixed martial artist and someone who's going to be a champion is to strengthen your spirit for all parts of a fight, whether we're on the ground, whether we're grappling, whether we're against the cage. Your spirit needs to be strong for every part of a fight. And I pride myself on being one of them guys. I can go anywhere in a fight and just know that it's a temporary situation. I'm going to get out, and then eventually I'm going to get on top. The thing about the Conor fight, the second Conor fight with Nate, is he was gassing out where he should have been, had the strongest spirit, because the fight was on the feet the whole time. There was really no ground exchanges, and he was gassing out in his best realm, in his most confident realm, and that's what sort of stuck out to me the most.
Are you bringing anybody to emulate what he's going to do?
Yeah, I'm gonna talk to some people, but yeah, we have guys. I was supposed to have a guy come in. He's supposed to come in a week or so. It's been a little more trouble than what I thought, so I've already started calling around and seeing if I'm able to grab some other resources.
Also, are you worried about like him being in your head at all? Because it seemed like at the press conference you wanted to get up and just smack him.
I'm the least bit worried about that. Look, I have four children. I'm 32 years old. I fought the best guys in the world. For me, it's a little bit comical what's going on. When I usually square off with a guy. And I'm being my hand to God. When I square off with a guy, my heart rate goes up. I get excited. I feel something. When I was on stage with him in New York, I never felt less threatened in my life against another man. Like that's sincerely how I felt. It was a weird feeling for me to be squared off and be face to face with someone and just not feel threatened by them at all. It just seemed like a too much of a show and spectacle. It was like funny for me.
I don't have the Irish fans been harassing you on social media?
Yeah, I get a bit of that, but you know, everybody's Irish when Conor McGregor comes into town, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, talking
it's funny.
When you say that, Eddie, I remember fighting on cards with you on the East Coast in Atlantic City, and you would bring all of Philly with you, man. So I'm thinking it's going to be Philly and Ireland in Madison Square Garden. Mm. You gonna have a crew behind you that can shut up the McGregor fans?
I'm gonna guess that the fights in the stands are gonna probably be better than the ones in the octagon.
Oh, I don't doubt that at all. Yeah.
I'm just gonna, because if you got Philly fans are passionate and they don't allow no bullshit to go down. So I'm just gonna go out and take a guess that Some of them fights in the stands will probably be more exciting than the ones in Akron.
Now, Conor does hit hard, though, man. I mean, you saw him drop Nate a couple times. You know, he dropped Aldo. Are you concerned about the power at all?
I'm never concerned. I just prepare. I'm never concerned about what a guy's strength is or what his weakness are. I just prepare properly, and that's what allowed me to win my world title. Win numerous world titles and beat the best guys in the world. Everything's in preparation, and he's a left hand. He's just a guy with a left hand. That's it. That's how I see him. He does something in Philly, like in boxing, that we call a rock back. He does it well. Mayweather does it. A lot of Philly boxers do it. It's called a rock back. He lives and breathes off it. And a lot of MMA guys don't know about these boxing things that they do. But this is something very simple. This is a move that's very easily taken away. And you know, we're gonna dominate every step of the way.
Why are you laughing?
I'm laughing because Eddie's from that generation, man. Eddie's like, we've talked about this before. Eddie's like one of the last guys from that generation of fighting where It wasn't for money, it was for passion. And then being out of Philly, he knows a lot about fighting. Talking about the rock back and he understands boxing well, you know. So I don't think, I know Conor's confident there, but I don't think that's an advantage for him. Yeah, that's the best part of his game is his striking.
Not in this fight.
Yeah. I mean, Eddie, I honestly think Eddie is really smart when it comes especially to the striking game. And when he says that, that's why it's the big smile on my face, because it's like he sees some things that a lot of people won't recognize, and if he can capitalize on those things, he can make Conor look amateur.
Now, Eddie, by the way, we were at the same national tournament in high school. You took third. I didn't place. But at the prep school nationals at Lehigh, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember wrestled against Blair. That was like the best team, Blair Academy back then.
Right. It's funny because one of my main guys who helped me with my wrestling is Esposito from Blair. And he wrestled in high school and stuff like that. Now I got the pleasure of him helping me with wrestling and things like that. So it's pretty cool to come full circle and go from national preps to being back with them guys again. So
that is pretty awesome. Cool. By the way, I've been watching your workout regimen. It is insane what you're doing. You're jumping, I mean, like he's like on the bars, on like the gymnast bars. I mean, it's a whole, and then you're jumping up over those like track thing hurdles. I mean, they have you doing these things. Are you okay? I don't want you to get hurt, man. That shit looks crazy.
No, my coach, when the cameras come around and stuff like that, my coach will purposely put crazy shit up because he knows that I never did it, like some of the stuff. I never did it to that extent before. So he tries to get me to break all my personal best while the cameras are around. He knows I'm a show off. I'm a little bit of like a show off and a sore loser.
And you're also
so
doing those like squats, those fucking deadlifts.
Yeah, I'll do it.
The deadlifts you're doing with like I don't know how much, like 300 pounds on each side. I'm like, the fuck is this guy doing? It's crazy, dude. It's crazy.
Yeah, I enjoy that stuff. My coach challenges me. I've been with him since like the dream tournaments, and he's a big reason I'm starting to knock people out again. Back with him, back with the explosiveness, the power. I've always had the ability to knock people out, but just to start finding my power again and starting catching people's chins again, he's a huge asset to my team. Rich Power, he's a man.
Nice. Now, the reach advantage Connor has, how are we going to deal with that?
You know, there's tons of different ways without giving away a game plan. You know, what's he like a 74? I believe it's 74 inch reach or something like that. But everything's taken away with the proper preparation. I know I'm confident in my coaches. I'm confident in our game plan and our ability to go out there and do it. We've already been doing 5-5, 6-5, three times a week. And we're just following his game plan step by step.
Now, Rocky didn't have any sex before his fight. I know Rocky's from Philly. You Philly have women weakened legs. Have we cut out sex yet or no?
Nah, I never do that, man. That's foolish.
Nice. Now, by the way, Conor McGregor just showed up to our podcast. Conor, you're here?
Yes, that's right. I came all the way down here because I heard Eddie was going to be on MMA Roasted.
Nice. Now, what's your plan against Eddie?
Listen, first of all, Eddie, you're welcome, okay? Finally, thanks to me, you're famous enough to be on a podcast. Way to go.
Now, what do you plan on doing to Eddie?
Eddie, first of all, I'm going to romance you in the ring. I'm going to treat you like a true gentleman. And then I'm going to just not knock you out. I'm going to knock you out of fighting forever. So it's a good thing you're Puerto Rican, because you're going to have a backup career teaching people how to dance the tango.
Eddie?
Hey, what's up, man?
No, Eddie Alvarez is a legend in the sport. He just knocked out Dos Anjos. How are you going to deal with Eddie Alvarez?
It's real easy. You just have to turn on salsa music, and they can't help but start to dance.
Eddie, is that true?
Yeah. There is a bit of truth to that. But,
That's what I told you. He's going to dance himself right out of the ring. And he's right about the best fights being in the stands. I predict the Irish will beat the Puerto Ricans 113-108.
All right. Wow. All right. So, no, but Eddie Alvarez beat Dos Anjos. He beat Anthony Pettis. He beat Gilbert Melendez. Dude is a fucking legend in the sport. You haven't beaten those guys.
Yes, but I didn't have to.
What do you mean you didn't have to?
Come on, I'm Conor McGregor. The sport comes to me, not the other way around.
All right.
I'm not some Hispanic picking the lettuce out of Bellator.
What was that, Eddie?
When you got a cool accent, you don't have to beat anybody good. You can just fucking.
Well, I'll be sure and tell Nate Diaz you said he weren't no good.
Well, he did beat Nate Diaz, Eddie. Yeah. Nate is a good fighter, great fighter.
Yeah, he's a 500 lightweight. Let's be honest. He's
wow.
A fucker. Nate's a 500 lightweight. What was his record before he fought Conor?
Eves, CB, what was his record?
I believe it was Coke and one.
I think he was about 3-1 or 1-3 before he got the Conor fight. So Nate's a 500 lightweight. That's just being honest. He wins half of them, he loses half of them.
And I would say you're also right about Jose Aldo. It wasn't much of a fight, so I can't say what it felt like to beat him.
Wow. Now, CB, now our other co-host has 5 Conor McGregor tattoos. If Eddie wins, will you get an Eddie Alvarez tattoo?
I guess we'll have to wait and see what happens.
You better. Come on.
Yeah, I want the Alvarez on your back.
I'm like your back. He wants that.
I have no room on my back. Maybe my forehead.
Your lower back.
Your lower back. He wants you to get a fucking tramp stamp.
I don't have any room.
That's awesome.
Hey, Eddie. Okay, so you're from Philly, and this is Madison Square Gardens, man. And you're a fight fan. You've been watching fights forever. I'm sure you've seen Felix Trinidad and a bunch of guys fighting Madison Square Gardens. What is that to you to headline a card, the biggest MMA card?
Biggest.
And the biggest arena. What's that like, man? That's a feeling. I know you didn't come into this game looking for that to happen.
No, I mean, everything happens for a reason. You know, I remember when I first joined the Dream Tournament, and that was before watching you. I watched you fighting the Pride Lightweight Grand Prix, and then I got invited to it. And I just remember when I got invited to it that it was even hard for me to focus on the fight because of how excited I was just to be involved. So I think this is just sort of I think that same feelings are going to come about me now. I've been in the sport forever, but you can't not get excited about a moment like this.
Yeah, and, no kidding.
I have something inside me called competitive greatness, and when the chips are all on the table, I show the fuck up every time, and I can't wait for my chips to be all in and then see this guy across the stage from me and everybody biting their nails and wondering what the hell is going to happen here. I can't wait to show up that night and show up big.
Man,
I'm excited already.
I can't wait either, man.
Wow.
By the way, how's Frankie look?
Oh, Frankie's fucking firing away, dude. He's the same way I am. Frank's just so ultra competitive. He don't like losing a round, and he definitely didn't feel good about the Jose fight. And he's got a fire under him, and you could tell in training he's got a huge fire under him. And you're going to see the same thing out of him, man. That competitiveness that drives our whole room every day, that's going to come out at MSG on November 12th. And I think there's about 4 of us under Mark Henry that are fighting that night. And I there's no doubt in my mind we'll have a clean sweep.
How's Caitlin looking? Caitlin Chugagin.
Caitlin just beats the shit out of every girl in front of her. That's I don't know. I don't see too many girls that actually even in sparring that give her a hard time, but she knows how to adjust. She knows how to move, and she pretty much beats the shit out of whatever girls they bring in. I actually feel bad for sometimes.
She's really cute too. Very pretty girl as well. That chick. I think she's the next big star in women's MMA. I mean, she's got the whole package.
She is in my pants.
She can fight, man. She can fight her ass off.
She is in your pants?
Yeah, that's how I rate them, how they affect me in my pants.
She's going nowhere near
your pants. She's a big star in my pants.
Yeah, she's going nowhere near your pants. By the way, who did you think won, Bisping or Hendo?
I just seen, like, clips, The fight was incredible, but I haven't got a chance to assess the whole fight. From what I've seen, from I usually follow a couple analysts, some that I really trust. I've seen Jack Slack scored it for Bisping, so I'm going to say Bisping. I follow Jack Slack pretty closely, and I trust his word. So if he had it scored Bisping, I think it was probably Bisping.
Now, are you going to watch the other fights before your fight? Because there, I mean, you got Weidman, you got the whole card is stacked. Kennedy, you know, Rashad Evans, the whole thing is stacked. Are you going to watch the other fights?
Usually when I show up the night of, I usually just go to sleep for a little bit because it takes a while for my fight to usually come around. So I'll show up in my locker room, I'll go to bed for about maybe like an hour or two, and then I'll wake up and start get going. Once I get going, I'll enjoy some of the fights. Ones like if Frank's on for sure, I'm gonna watch Frank's and my teammates. But usually when I'm just warming up, I'll go ahead and watch some exchanges, watch some things happen.
Nice. Well, listen, man. The fact that you're the champion, you're fighting in the biggest card ever, and you're coming. You came on my podcast. You have no idea how much that means, dude. And I'm going to be a fan of yours for life. I'm going to be rooting for you.
Same here.
Everyone that I know is rooting for you. And Eddie, I can't thank you enough, man.
No problem, brother. I like that you still go to them wrestling practice and teach them kids. Actually, it's a big part of the reason I still, I don't mind doing anything for you guys. I think that's cool that you still help out with the kids. And when I get extra time, when I'm done all this bullshit, it's probably be the main thing I'm going to be into too. So,
oh, cool. Thanks,
that's
Eddie.
Cool.
Hey, Eddie, really quickly, man, I just want to tell you, November 12th is my birthday. So if you win, I want you to know I'm going to tell everybody that you did it for me. Okay.
Whatever helps you out, man. Whatever helps you.
There you go. You heard it here. Eddie Alvarez said he's going to win for Greg on his birthday. Yes. Right here on MMA Roast.
There you go.
I love you, man. Thank you.
I got you, man.
Thanks, Eddie.
Be good, Eddie.
All right. I'll see you guys.
All right, that was Eddie Alvarez, man. What a fucking what a great
what a guy!
Kid.
What
yeah,
amazing!
I am so happy he came on the show, man. So you, what were you saying? There was a party rooting for Eddie Alvarez, right?
No,
really?
I don't hate him. I don't dislike him. I have nothing against him at all. But I'm rooting for Conor.
What do you love about Conor?
Conor's just ever since the day he walked into the UFC, the way he talks, the way he presents himself, the drama, I come from a WWE background my whole life.
That's what it really is right there.
Like, dude, that's why I'm like a huge fan of Chael Sonnen as well, because Chael comes in and he just talks all his shit and it's fucking hilarious.
But
I love
Chael,
it.
Chael, it seems forced. Like, he writes it, he plans to be the villain, blah, blah. Whereas I think, Conor just is being
I agree with you. It feels like it comes more naturally from Conor. That he's just, but you look at a guy, and it's a rags to riches story. 2 weeks before he got signed to fight Marcus Brimage on short notice, he was on welfare in Ireland. The guy had no money in his fucking pocket,
yes,
and now it's a $40
record,
million dollar year for Mr. McGregor.
For the record, everyone in Ireland is on welfare.
Is it all potatoes? Is welfare potatoes?
The potato van's coming around. Bring
there's
out
no
your
ice,
bags.
There's no ice cream trucks.
Bring
it's
out
just potato,
your, yeah, that's right.
Potato Porsches or something.
Yeah.
Like.
And the theme song is, boom, potato, two potato, three potato, four. Five potato, six potato, seven potato, more.
This podcast. This is going to be the most listened to podcast because of Eddie, and then they're going to.
And we're going to get so
what
much
about the
this.
Fact that
we're
he dropped
cut that part out? Cut out the potato truck.
What no. about the fact that he dropped the N-bomb four times in the last 20 minutes?
I think we're going to beep that the first 20 minutes.
Bubba's going to be salivating.
Right? You think we should beep it? You think we should beep the N-word?
No,
no.
I don't think so.
Eves, what do you think?
He went real hard on making sure that he went. Nigga.
That's true, all right?
I noticed.
Which is the safety. Like, that's the
all right,
safety.
It's up to Eves. Eves being the black guy in the show.
All right. Now it's getting more racist.
Should we beep the.
We're going to ask. What are you making it next? You're going to call him the token black guy because we're like, Bubba's not here or whatever?
No. We only have room for one black guy. No, but should we beep the first N word the first time he said it or no?
The first time there was four.
The first four N words. Should we
was
beep
there only
or not?
Four?
All right. Raise your hand if you think we should beep. The first four N-words.
I don't know. I think it was contextual.
Okay.
We need, nigga, please.
I think we need... I think we need, you know, Ancestry.com now has the DNA thing where they can show exactly what mix you are.
Yes.
We need Greg to present an Ancestry.com official DNA report. And if it says you're any portion of black, we will keep it on the show.
Why do I have to prove that I'm a black man? See, this is the kind of discrimination.
Because I'm not calling anybody a cracker, a honky, or a fish belly, or anything like that.
What?
Or a tyke, or anything like that.
A fish belly.
A fish belly. Well, it was in that book, Maniac McGee.
That's the part of the girls that I like to keep. I call it the fish belly. It starts just below the tits and extends to the taint. And it actually folds and makes a lovely tie.
One of the only books I've ever read,
yes,
called Maniac McGee. He was getting called fish belly in like this impoverished part of town that he lived in when he was going to school.
Well, thanks for sharing. People really care.
I know they do. It's like the only book I've ever read.
Oh, man.
Never heard of that. But say, were there large pictures?
It was a pop-up book.
Did it rhyme? It totally rhymed, didn't it?
It was a pop-up book, goddammit. And at the end, it was a flip book.
This is both the best and worst episode we've ever done.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Wait a second. Speaking, since we're going on the subject of horrible, did Robin Black China really break up? You'd know more than anybody.
I'm not totally caught up. I have one episode for the season. Because
everybody's tweeting you and me about Robin really Black did. China broke up. Yeah, and I'm like, well, we need to find out from the source here.
Yeah. Well, I think the secret's out on them. So,
yeah, that was a mistake, man. I think that Black China being
the show.
Listen, you know who should be upset about this? Chinese people.
Listen, because it's C-H-Y-N-A. So I think what happens is, look, Black China was a stripper for a long time. And I think she knows how to fuck.
Did she work with Coco Puff?
She knows how to bang. I could see that she knows how to. And I think there are guys out that I know out there, friends of mine, that when they get a chick who knows how to fuck or blow somebody, they get hooked. They fall in love.
Yeah, you get pussy whipped.
And that's what happened with Rob Kardashian. He'd never been fucked by a chick like Black China. And how do you know this?
This is my theory. Okay.
I grab fighters, he grabs Kardashian.
So right away, he wanted to marry her. He was like, you know, put a baby in this. This is the best fuck I've ever had.
You had to put a splash guard
on
the bed.
But just, man, you have to know that just because...
some juice in
just way. Because a chick can fuck, there's a girl's your wife, and then the girls that you just... You know, you bang, or you're not bang, but you have fun with.
You know the difference.
Yeah, I do.
You do?
Yeah, the girls that I've went out with.
Yeah, the girls you had relationships with were good, sweet girls. You
fun.
Choose nice girls to actually be involved with.
Yes. And then the other,
and then the other 99%.
But there are many guys that don't do that. There are many guys.
True. You never try and make a Madonna out of the whore.
Yeah.
They'll never, because they can't change. Once they need a lot of dick, they'll never not need that much dick.
Yeah. So have you ever dated a chick, like went out with
can't
a girl?
Beat them off.
You can't. No, listen. Well, sometimes they can like grow out of it, but generally speaking, they're always going to need multiple dicks. Listen, I've tried to make a good girl an honest woman out of the whore. It doesn't work. She's a whore.
Eves, have you ever made an honest woman out of a whore?
No.
You've never had a girlfriend that was like, have you ever dated strippers before? Or?
I had a girlfriend that was a stripper before we started dating.
And what happened?
Yes. It wasn't going to work.
He couldn't tame her with that, even with that black dick, couldn't tame her.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
I'm not trying to be
you're not trying to be a pussy tamer? Lion tamer.
Is that what they call lion tamers?
It is now hashtag lion tamer. When you could tame that big pussy, that wild stripper pussy, you a lion tamer.
I just got announced. Tim Means.
Let him roam.
Tim Means is fighting Alex Oliveira. Cowboy who just beat up, Will Brooks.
Cowboy's getting beat up. The Cowboy is he's strong. He's a real strong dude, but man, Means is clean and dirty.
At least I'll make fucking weight this time.
Huh. His style, when I say, yeah, that's true. I'm sorry. I didn't realize I was saying such an oxymoron. His style is real crisp. But the things that he does, especially when he gets inside with those elbows.
Right.
He should be the first guy with a nickname after his last name. It would be Tim Means Business because, you know, every time he gets in there, he's looking to murder somebody. And at least Cowboy will make weight this time because he gets an extra 15 pounds.
Hashtag Tim Means Business.
I like Tim Means. He actually has a really cool story, too. He was in jail for a while and came out, redeemed himself, got his life together.
Jail can give you time to think.
Yeah.
About what you've done.
Have you ever been to jail?
Yeah, of course.
For what?
Not for like a long time.
Jail, like overnight.
Yeah, like overnight, not prison. I haven't been in prison. I've been in jail. One of them, I had an outstanding warrant for like a ticket or some shit, so I had to go to jail for that.
Yep.
Once I got popped smoking weed on the street.
Right.
I'm trying to think. I feel like there was a third time. But those two times for sure.
Eve's you?
Okay, so two stories are coming back together. I did get arrested for traffic warrants. With my ex-girlfriend that was a stripper. They shipped me down to this other part of town. Cop put me in the back seat of the car, cuffed me. And he had with no seatbelt on, and he's driving like a maniac, and I'm falling over.
Yeah.
So he didn't know I was as flexible as I was. So I moved my feet and put the handcuffs back in front of me. They don't really like that.
Right.
So at one point...
You're like a magician.
Yeah, at one point I'm scratching my face, and he looks in the mirror, and he just goes, "Put him back."
So you had? Did you put him back?
No.
I was gonna say that's a tough move.
So what, that's harder than getting him off.
Totally, I'm thinking. I was you can do that. You can suck your own dick.
All right. Here we go again.
He just kind of acted kind of like a bully once he pulled me out and he put me in. It was in a cell about as big as the kitchen.
Did anybody recognize you from fighting?
No, it was a small local. I forget the name of the town. All you people in Houston, it was like Hillcroft and Voss, that area. I can't remember what that's called, but it's a small community over there. He put me in a jail cell over there. I was there for about 4 hours.
Oh. Every time Eves leaves his house with a story on the show, you're like, "Did anybody recognize you? Go back to his home. Go to jail. Anybody like every?
I don't know.
Every time.
At least before I had any kind of fame.
Money did it cost you to get out of jail?
That's all I was gonna say. At least I didn't ask him how much money he was getting paid.
Well, listen, I always find it funny when like celebrities or fighters or athletes go to jail and people in the jail know them, like comedians or know stuff, because they always like it's always kind
of. Have you
funny.
Guys been to jail?
No.
You know why? Because you're not black like us.
You're an idiot.
I've been detained. Oh my god.
Only us black guys have been to jail, man.
I've been detained. I've never been arrested.
What have you been detained for?
I was detained.
Like in Grand Theft Auto, in real life.
No, in real life.
For what?
But that was a good reference. I like that. You could have gone the right avenue. Mostly just.
Is he coaching you in comedy right there? Did he just give you a comedy tip?
Yeah.
That was a good reference. You could have gone the right direction. But, you know, we'll discuss it after the podcast.
Of course. This guy, all of a sudden.
He's coaching you up.
Adam looked at Greg like, "Yeah, that motherfucker
did." Yeah, totally. Yeah. I'd be like, I was trying to give you fighting advice. Like, "Well, you should have swept the leg."
Yeah. So funny. Go on.
So bad. Continue.
No, I got detained for weed related instances. Just like smelling like weed in public, but I had my prescription on me, so they couldn't really do anything about it.
By the way, Juliana Pena, I guess, is threatening to leave the UFC because she really wants that Ronda fight.
Ronda,
I mean, not the Ronda fight,
the Nunes fight,
which, I mean, you can't blame them for giving it to Ronda. It's a business move.
She has no argument.
Donut!
I mean, yeah, Juliana, she's won all of her fights in the UFC. I don't know if she's undefeated overall.
In the UFC.
Okay, but she is undefeated in the UFC, but, I mean, it's Juliana Pena versus Ronda Rousey. That's literally like the number 12 bantamweight demanding to fight Dominic over.
Yeah, but
Cody.
She is.
Well,
number...
we did just have Hendo fight Bisping.
That's
so.
The problem. Well,
that's a difference, though.
But no, but that's why you'd make that other fight, because that fight makes money and this fight makes money too. It's actually an argument towards why they gave it to Ronda.
Well, yeah.
But I hear with this whole new William Morris era, they're going to do fights that make the most money, and I think that's a very dangerous place to go. I understand why Ronda is this, because Ronda defended her belt how many times? And I think if you defend your belt more than 3 or 4 times and you lose your belt, you should get the first rematch.
You're supposed to even have one defense. You're supposed to get an immediate.
It should be that way. I don't understand why it's not. And, you know, I understand why it's not in like a case like Luke Rockhold, who wins once and loses the first title defense. Maybe he shouldn't get the next one. But Ronda was a dominant champion. In fact, so dominant that she was an 11-1 favorite over Holly Holm, who beat her. However, I understand Juliana's plight of like, okay, I beat Kat Zingano. I beat Jessica Ai, who at the time was ranked number 3 or 4. And now she thinks that the other girls are more dangerous or as dangerous and don't make enough money. They want her to fight the Russian girl.
Shevchenko?
Yeah, they want her to fight that girl. The girl who beat Holly Holm.
Yeah, but lost to the champ.
Lost to the champ. So I don't know. I mean, I didn't look. It's hard. The women's division is hard because you have it's such a clusterfuck. And when you have a girl like Ronda who takes a year off or 2 years off and then comes back, but
and look at the landscape.
At the same time, I think it's a dangerous fight for Ronda because she comes out and she gets murdered. She gets murked by this girl who hits very, very hard. She's got the same stupid coach. Then what happens? Ronda comes out and loses. And where does she go from there? I mean, she had two movies that were supposed to come out. They canceled Roadhouse, which I think is a good thing. I don't think the Roadhouse, remaking Roadhouse with Ronda Rousey as the bouncer. I'm not going to go see that.
Was that what she was going to be, Swayze?
Yeah.
They scrapped it a while ago.
Same hair.
I think they actually scrapped it before
they should have scrapped she lost a Holly. They started filming.
Yeah, they scrapped it, I think, even before she lost to Holly.
No, it was after they scrapped after
Then it was like right after.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, someone was saying, was it a lesbian bar? I mean, like, where did she... That would be kind of cool if it was a lesbian bar and chicks was just fighting and Ronda was the bouncer, but I think they were going to have males fighting.
That would be cool if you were a lesbian bar and the movie was a porno. Then it'd be cool. Otherwise, you would only be able to go see it with the same people that go see the WNBA.
The thing I think about promoting is it's like a crapshoot. It's like you're playing craps, you know, especially when you have champions having to fight guys that aren't the next in line. When there's no clear next in line, like for Bisping, it was the same thing. There was no clear next in line. I think for Amanda Nunes, there's no clear next in line. Even though there's the number one contender.
Yes and no. I disagree with the Bisping thing because he fought Hendo, who was like number 14. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I think that the UFC was like, look, we can make a lot of money on Bisping Hendo, but then rankings don't mean shit because if he fights Chris Weidman, Rockhold, Jacare, or Romero, those are way, I think, harder fights than fighting Dan Henderson at this point in his career.
Yeah. But I think there's a balance there. The Hendo fight, the timing, everything worked out for that to be the right fight to happen right then. It's not always going to be that way. Right now, Amanda and Ronda, that's pretty much the right fight. Ronda's coming back. She's a former champion. That's the only fight she's ever fought in the UFC was for the title.
Who do you think wins the fight?
Ronda's been out for a while, and the gap is closed, I believe. You don't really gain that same experience from training as you do from the fight. Amanda has been fighting some of the toughest women in the world. Also, Amanda has some strengths that Holly also has that are weaknesses for Ronda. Amanda's not necessarily going to tie up with you as soon as she gets hit because she doesn't want to get hurt. All these girls tied up with Ronda when they got hit, and they got thrown.
Right.
Amanda's not that girl. She gets hit. She's like, okay. Unless she's in trouble, she's not tying up with you. And I don't know if Ronda could put her in trouble. So
you've seen her train, right?
Yeah.
Now I heard like she beats men. Like she hits like a man, like harder than men. Not even like hits harder than all three of us together. Yeah. I heard that she's just in training. It's like crazy.
Amanda's legit. She can fight. She's tough. She will train with guys and hold her own. She doesn't go out there and train all the practices with the guys, but she will hit drills and she'll do some of the things with the guys. And she doesn't look like she's outclassed or outmuscled or anything like that. She's tough and she can take shots. You know, she's a fighter, man.
Have you held pads for her?
I have not held pads for her.
I was gonna say, okay, but like her versus. Have you ever seen her versus Robert Whiteford train or one of those guys?
No. I've seen her just running drills and just training. I've never seen her spar, but I watch the way she moves. She doesn't move like, say, if Tisha Torres is training with Danger, with Matt Schnell.
Yeah.
She you can tell that it's a woman training with a man. When Amanda's training with a guy, when Amanda's training with Dean, it doesn't look like he has to be nice to her because she's a female. Like, she's out there training. She just trains hard.
By the way, Tisha and Raquel are, like, in love now.
Did you see the workout video with them?
Yeah, it's, like, it's hilarious.
Raquel's doing squats with her on it, with Tisha on her shoulders. Then Tisha's doing, like, almost flying sit-ups, and they're kissing every time she comes up. And then they're doing, like, 69 sit-ups or push-ups. I mean, you got to see it.
How have I not seen
that? I'll show you right
How
now.
How has it not been tweeted to me 1,000 times? Have you seen this, Eve?
Yep. I've seen it.
Wait, everyone else on top of me?
Yes.
Jesus Christ, I gotta see
Hold
this.
On.
I think the whole world.
Just send me the link. I need to watch it in private. I need to watch it alone.
Lesbian porn? It doesn't do it for me.
I'm gonna
I love lesbian porn.
I'm gonna post it on your Facebook.
You just gotta have dicks in yours? You gotta see extra dicks?
I have to pretend that it's like my dick.
Okay. I get that. That works too.
I have to pretend it's me.
I don't always need to see. Sometimes I like just chick shit.
I'm very selfish.
Especially if they're teens.
Oh, all right. You know what? Now,
now we got to cut that out.
Now we're going to.
I just Facebook messaged it.
They're not real teens. Just
no, of course not. It's a category.
Yeah. Greg, I just messaged it to you.
Oh, okay, great.
All right, so.
In terms of Rhonda.
18 is still teen. 19 is still teen. These are legal teens. I believe it's called barely legal.
Would you hook up in real life with an 18-year-old?
Sure.
Really?
Well, when I could, yes. I did. What are we talking about, kid? I did, like, a bunch of times.
But now, would you?
Sure, why not? Is there a 45-year-old guy who's going to be like, no, I don't want that 18-year-old pussy?
It's young, man. Yeah, man. It is kind of young, though.
Hey, listen, we all make mistakes. That's how you grow up.
But you actively seek out mistakes. So that was the mistakes.
Not those mistakes.
What was that going?
So I think, like, with the New Year's card coming.
He's like, I can't do this show.
And Rhonda versus Pena.
Hold up. Everyone, what was that?
So, like, with the New Year's card coming, with 205 being the biggest card ever, and we've discussed this, going into it, 205 is the biggest card, so the cards before it are not as stacked, because they can't be. They've lined everything up. But then you look at the cards after it. 206 has been announced. It looks good. 207, they needed a monumental New Year's card, because they do it every year. And it's nothing against Juliana Pena, because I think she deserves a shot. Just not if Rhonda says, I'm coming back. And Rhonda is arguably the second biggest draw in the UFC right now. Conor's the first, of course. But putting Rhonda on the New Year's card is necessary. They need to sell it out. They've even said, you know, we're doing a second title fight. It's most likely going to be Dominic Cruz defending, but they needed that name. And unfortunately, Pena does not move the needle against Nunez like Rhonda does. And then you look at the landscape, and then you have Dana talking about, well, if Rhonda gets her title back, then she's getting Cyborg next, and we're going to make that fight happen. And I'm like,
that fight's
that's
never
awesome,
gonna
but I don't think
happen.
It's going to happen.
They even said, Rhonda's nutritionist, what's his name?
Dolce
said that she would rather fight a catch weight against Joanna Jędrzejczyk than Cyborg, which is insane because
I don't think Rhonda can make 125.
Yeah, that. And also, Cyborg, if she weighs it at 140 and you weigh it at 135, I know 5 pounds, you know.
Well, no, Rhonda could go up to 140
it's
easily.
A lot bigger than Joanna Jędrzejczyk.
She proved that already.
Yeah, but Rhonda can go to 140 because she won the title in Strikeforce at 145.
She
so.
Won her medal at 157 pounds. So
yeah.
154 pounds. So.
Yeah. Now, what else was I going to say? There was something else. UFC 206, I'm looking at. The cage side is 285. What's crazy about the Garden, though, is it's like $4,000 for cage side.
Well, the thing is with the UFC, the way they're selling tickets now, the first 5 to 10 rows, anything on the floor is considered VIP. So you buy it through UFC.com instead of getting your regular Ticketmaster tickets, and you get a meet and greet with some fighters. You get like to go to like a special like dinner with some fighters and Dana and whatever. And it has different price values. Like the owner's box, they're like $15,000 a ticket, but it's like you get this huge like package and sometimes
$15,000.
But you're within the first two rows sitting next to Dana.
I want
to
be in the cage. $15,000.
No, it's ridiculous.
I want to be on the stool with the fucking fighter.
$15,000. It's a crazy amount of money. It's a crazy amount of money.
People that are really rich, $15,000 is for that kind of experience is worth it.
Those people aren't the fight fans.
Well, that's the thing. That's the thing.
Most of them aren't.
They're not. They're the ones that show up for the main event, and they've missed the first 12 fights on the card. Yep. And they're starting to sit down when they're announcing the entrance of whatever, Ronda or Conor, whoever it is.
They're not even showing up for any of the other
And you're sitting
fights.
There, and you're like, why the fuck are you here? I spent, whatever, $1,000, and I've been here every fight. I'd rather be sitting there and you back here.
I know it's not.
It's economics.
But I understand it's economics and capitalism, but it would be nice if the UFC was kind of like Pearl Jam or some of the Green Day or some of these bands that are like, all right, we're going to cap at $300 or we're going to cap at $400. Because you're right. The fans are the guys like, you know.
$4.2 billion.
Yeah, like,
that's the only answer to that question.
Exactly.
It ain't
fantasy
about
land.
It ain't about the sport and what it's all about. I mean, that's who the fighters are. That's who you are. That's who true fight fans are. But I mean, if fighting was about money, I'd be a millionaire now.
Yeah, no shit. You're right.
But the numbers for it, it also depends on the event. Because a Conor fight, a floor seat that's not even in the VIP section, you're looking at $1,000 to $3,000 that's not in the VIP section. So you're looking at rows maybe 10 okay, through 20.
Got it.
But the Almeida Garbrandt fight night was $200, and I was five rows away from the cage.
No, I saw that. Yeah. So Brian Barberena is fighting Colby Covington, UFC on Fox 22. That's a good fight right there. Barberena just beat Warley Alves.
Colby, though, is a beast, right? Legit, man.
I love that dude.
Colby, well, he didn't know anything, and we were training, and he took. I couldn't do anything.
Really?
He's so big and strong. I couldn't do anything. I mean, he isn't that. Looking at us, he's not that much bigger than me. But being in there with him, he's a powerful dude, man. And he spent a lot of time with Masvidal. They were roommates for a while, and I think he picked. Outside of fighting, he picked up some stuff from Masvidal about fighting that you don't learn in the gym, too. So I think he's on the right path. He'll do well.
Yeah, I think so, too. I mean, Colby, I remember he came to my show. He was a guy. He was trying to talk a lot of shit. It really wasn't his thing, but he was trying to make some noise. Then he lost to Warley. He just got caught in, like, a standing guillotine where it's just one of those things where you're just like, fuck. And you see it all the time. You see sometimes people throw out these submissions where – you know, even what happened with Andre Fili when he got caught in these, some of these Brazilian guys are really clever at early on catching people in subs that they wouldn't catch in the third when you're sweating or something. But, you know, Colby, his last fight, he dominated. He was, you know, John Jones' roommate in college. He was, Henry Cejudo, I think he was an All-American, Division II All-American wrestler.
Division I All-American.
Yeah. But Brian Barberena... is a guy who he beat Joe Ellenberger. I was there. Then he beat Sage Northcutt. Then he beat Warley Alves. He's a guy that's also this is a good scrap. This is a really good scrap. I think Colby's going to win too. If I had to pick it, just I think he's just a little better. But you can't take Barberena fucking lightly because everyone who does, I mean, Warley Alves is legit. He won the Ultimate Fighter. He beat Alan Juban, and I thought Alan won that fight. Yada yada. But that's a good fight. It's a good fight.
Warley. I'm gonna put you on the spot real quick. I don't think this is on that card, but Jake and Masvidal.
Jake,
you take Jake?
Yeah, I think that Masvidal is a great fighter. Obviously, you know, from his Kimbo backyard fights, and he's a warrior. I just think he's a little. I think Jake walks around at 205. He's a big fucking dude. He's back at Kings. He's a big guy. It's a 30-pound cut to 170. And he's like walking in that cage about 185, 190. Strong, focused, you know, had his downs, been up and down. Now I think he's still back going on his way up. Where Masvidal, his weight class is 55. It's almost like there should be a 160-pound weight class or 165, but I just think it's two guys. But I think he fought at 55 for a long time, and I just think he's coming up. That's my only issue with that.
Why? I don't know, man. Of course, I'm biased because he's a teammate. He's a friend. Jake's a friend also. But then I've trained both these guys. I do like Masvidal. The one knock I have on Masvidal, I would say most anybody does, is the fact that he's just too patient. If he can get by that, I really believe he walks through Jake.
Has he also ever been hit by a guy who hits like Jake? I mean,
he can take a shot. I mean, he did get knocked out by Dam, but his defense is really good. George's defense is good, and he can take a shot.
But Jake, I mean, Jake knocked out Matt Brown in one round. He knocked out Jake Shields early. I mean, he hits so he, even Wonder Boy has only really been hurt. He got by Matt Brown hurt him, but he had Wonder Boy on Queer Street, as they say. So he hits him hard.
He does it hard. The thing about Masvidal.
Who says that exactly?
Queer Street.
Yeah, who says that?
You hear it all the time.
I heard it. Rogan said it. And
I just heard you say it.
No, but Masvidal's defense is pretty good. There's a lot of people kind of miss the defensive structure in MMA. A lot of people watch people fight and they just notice the offense when they land the big shots and whatnot. But Masvidal's defense, man.
Yeah, no, he's good.
It's very technical.
And like the Al fight, I thought he won the Al fight. No, he got the loss. I just think that Jake wins. Also, Jake's our co-host. So, yeah, there's definitely that. But I just think there are some fights, like when Jake told me he was fighting Wonderboy, I'm like, fuck. Like, there are some fights that I'm like,
yeah.
Stylistically.
Like his last fight, and then he came out like a world beater.
No, I bet on Jake in that fight.
No, I know, but when he got announced against Matt Brown, you're like,
No, I did not.
No, I'm not saying he's going to lose. I'm saying, like, in my opinion, they announce Ellenberger and Matt Brown, you're like, that could be a tough fight because Matt is so durable. And then he comes out there and he just fucking steamrolls.
Yeah, remember you said, guys, don't say this on the podcast in private.
No, like,
privately, though, he's going to get killed.
No.
You took out that insurance policy on it. Because there were certain, you were like,
some guys, like when Bubba,
you don't remember that?
Like when Bubba Jenkins, like when Bubba versus George.
Yes. That one or even the Yamauchi fight when he was doubting his stand up?
No, against Gotti, I was like, you know what? Or whatever his name is.
Go eat the Yamauchi.
I'm like, Bubba's got this. When we were sitting there, I looked at you, Greg, and I go, I don't like this fight for Bubba. There's just some things with. Look, I can't even put it in words why I feel that way. I just have my gut just tells me.
Women's intuition.
Yes, women's intuition.
Right.
But it's even like with Lawler versus Woodley. I'm like, dude, I like this fight for Woodley. I don't know why. I just liked it.
How you like that fight, Woodley and Wonderboy?
I'm picking Woodley.
Yeah.
I just think that Woodley is just, I think people sleep on him a little bit. I think he's finally coming into his own. I think after he got knocked out by Nate Marquardt in that violent fashion, he got gun shy. You saw the next couple fights, he was like, just get the win. He was so sort of afraid to pull the trigger. And now he's like, he's with his podcast. He's a different guy. I think he's just a different, he's got a certain confidence. And I think he's a better athlete than Wonderboy. And I think his karate, Wonderboy's, he's also really smart, very underrated fight IQ. And I think Woodley wins this fight.
Yeah, I agree. I think Wonderboy, he's got that range and that distance, and he's able to keep that well. But he's never been in there with somebody as explosive and as fast as Tyron. And Tyron, when Tyron closes that distance, it hurts. You know what I mean? He closed the distance on Robbie, and Robbie's a guy that's Robbie lost to, the last time he was knocked out was Nick Diaz, right?
Yeah.
It was years ago. I fought on that card. Nick was in the locker room with us hitting pads, and we were like, Rick was like, I'm going to knock this motherfucker out. He's back there hitting pads, and he doesn't look like he knows how to box. And we're just like, he's not knocking anybody out with that.
Yeah.
But he went out there and did it, right? Ever since then, Robbie's taken some shots from some big dudes and been able to walk through a lot of them. But Tyron hit him with one shot, finished it. I think that one-shot power is a lot for anybody. I mean, you saw what Ellenberger did to Wonderboy. If Tyron is able to land one of those, he's not getting off the hook.
I also think, like, for some fighters, the haters can kill a fighter.
Yeah.
But other fighters, like, it fuels a fighter.
Yeah.
And I think Tyron's a guy that he, in some ways, like, everyone that, like, talks shit to him just makes him better. Because he's got something to prove.
Yeah, look at him at the presser.
St. Louis. St. Louis is in him, man. He grew up with people telling him you can't do it, and he's been doing it ever since.
He's got his chip on his shoulder.
At the 205 presser, he's like, I'm going to let you boo me, and then I'm going to talk. And in terms of getting hit by him, look at his fight with Jay Heron when he got in the UFC finally. He was 10 feet away from Jay Heron and landed, like, lunged in with one shot, and Heron was out.
There's a guy that Jay Heron, I remember watching Jay, it was Hieronymus was his name. Wrestle in high school, and this dude was a beast. No one wanted to wrestle Hieronymus. He was so good, and there's a guy who, very underrated fighter, just had bad luck in the UFC. Just had bad luck. I mean, they put him against Ellenberger, who he beat.
GSP.
He lost. GSP stopped him, and also his chin. His chin sort of got like, but he's doing great now. He's in like all these movies and TV shows.
He was one of the hardest workers at Extreme Couture.
He was in Luke Cage.
He was in Luke Cage?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, there you go.
What was he?
Have you seen the portion where it shows Luke Cage's history or his backstory?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He was one of the guys that he fought in the ring.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in the prison.
He, his girlfriend is one of the hottest chicks. I go, what do you do? She's like, I'm a butt model on Instagram. I thought she was
a butt or a button.
Butt, like an ass model. I thought she was kidding.
Is that a real thing?
Yeah, she has like a million Instagram followers. She gets paid to like advertise shit and to show off her and like to twerk and like show her ass off and like that's her job.
That's a job. In 2016.
You know what? That job probably pays a lot better than our job.
Seriously. Imagine that.
God damn.
I wish I could model my butt for money.
Would you?
You can. It's just not as much as you think you're going to get.
I don't know if I want to advertise to that audience.
Yeah, I don't think you, but you can. Yeah, there are places you can go.
I don't have a problem with that audience. I believe I want to advertise.
I believe it's down on Queer Street, if I'm not mistaken. Little place down there where you can do some butt modeling.
Tomas Almeida is fighting Albert Morales. Who's Albert Morales?
They announced
Albert
that?
Morales. Yeah. He just fought down in Harlingen. He was a guy Dana fought on.
Yeah, looking for a fight. He was the boxer that got called up.
Is he good?
He's fighting Tomas Almeida.
But Almeida, that's a tough fight.
Almeida's last fight was Cody, and before that he was
undefeated.
He knocked out Brad Pickett. Yeah. He knocked out Anthony Berchak. This is a good return fight. I was actually hoping for a different fight for Tomas. Leandro Higo, who is I think the RFA or the Legacy champion, one of the Pitbull brothers guys, super tough dude, very durable. I thought he was petitioning on Twitter for the Almeida fight in Sao Paulo, but I guess he didn't get the call up. But I like Tomas's chances against Albert Morales.
How do you have time to know all this stuff?
Well, Leandro,
and also becoming a wrestler, also following wrestling like you do.
Well, like, as we know from you guys talking shit on the podcast, I have all the time in the world.
Now which do you like better?
Fighting.
Why?
Just because, you know, with all the years I've been into pro wrestling, because it is predetermined and it is somewhat like unreal.
Yeah.
It's easier for me to predict what's going to happen. Whereas in MMA, yeah, there's some fights you can go, okay, I guarantee you this is going to happen.
Wait a minute, how do you predict it? Do you download the script? Or?
No, it's just you see how the you see how are you like fucking with me or you really
I'm fucking
want me
with
to
you.
Answer
I don't
this?
Give a shit. Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, I didn't want to get into that.
Who
but
wants to try and predict something that's written already? And you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, but they don't release that
that's
shit.
Like,
but
it's like betting on how Family Guy is going to end. You know, like well, I think,
well, you know.
I think Brian's going to get him this time. My money's on Brian. Like what?
No, but MMA is very, very unpredictable, and it's
who's paid off in MMA.
No, it's a lot more fun to watch, and there's more to it. And I've been able to get. There's so many people that are into pro wrestling that think they fucking know everything because it is predetermined, and you can figure out a pattern of what's going to happen. Whereas MMA, there's a lot of people that think they know shit.
Who's the champion in the WWE?
What champion?
The heavyweight champion.
Which one?
The main one.
The Universal or the WWE World Heavyweight?
Whichever one's the biggest one.
The World Heavyweight.
The bigger one is AJ Styles.
Now, if you could either, right, hang out with AJ Styles all week.
I've met AJ Styles a few times.
Conor McGregor for the weekend or get blown by Jessica Alba for an entire week, what would you do?
Why would I want to get blown for an entire week?
Like
that would fucking hurt.
Okay.
That would hurt.
Wow.
I don't know.
Wow.
Like,
that takes the cake. Holy crap.
A whole week?
Why would I want to get blown for a whole week when I can just kill her and get blown for a whole year?
24 makes, hours,
you guys,
days
you think about
week.
It all wrong. You just keep the parts you use.
You've already offered me Jessica
okay,
Alba, too.
You can cut out her face. I can put it on the Conor McGregor mannequin, and then it's exactly what I want, and I have it all the time.
So you actually would, but
so my answer
dead.
Is Conor McGregor.
But these people are dead. You don't mind getting blown by a dead person.
If you put it in the microwave, it's still warm. It's still warm if you microwave it.
Microwave, okay.
You just microwave the mouth. You microwave the pussy, and then that's good.
Okay,
it feels very natural.
But don't you think? I'm not the entire like she would take breaks. But I'm saying you get blowjobs the whole week. Like
okay, but here's a question I
at your
bring
discretion.
To you.
At your discretion.
Yeah, it's how like do you a know? Constant sucking. You know what I mean? Like you're just like can I have a like it's just yeah. You're like at
but
a
how do you even know? But here we go.
Where you're like you know what? I'm refreshed. Get over here. It's time for another. You know.
I get it. Do I get to answer?
It doesn't sound like you get it.
Do I get
it
my turn
like
to answer?
You're crazy.
I am. We haven't. You called me psycho the first day you met me. We haven't fucking come to terms with the fact that I'm out of my mind.
You're clearly out of your mind.
All right, go on.
So, number one, how do we know that Jessica Alba's any good at giving head? Nobody here can tell me.
After a week, she's got to be pretty good. Yeah. Practice makes perfect. All
right, go on.
Also, there's like millions, if not, well, there's billions of girls out there that it doesn't matter if it's Jessica Alba or Kate Upton or whoever the fuck it is. There could be any girl that's good at giving head that you'd want to fucking, it's not a big deal.
Kate Jenner.
It's not a big deal. Dude.
Hanging out with fucking Conor McGregor for a week or a weekend.
Yeah.
That's Conor McGregor. He's one in a lifetime. There'll never be anybody like him. And I have the utmost.
You have a penis, right?
I get it, but you don't think Conor could get me just as hot, if not hotter, fucking girls to do it, if not like eight at a time?
And no. The reality is, what I want to do is I want to dock with Conor McGregor. That's what I want.
What does that mean,
dock? Docking. Well, that's when you put your penises together and you pull his foreskin over your dick. So that's what I want to do. I want to do some docking with.
I've never heard of that.
I don't even know what the fuck that is.
Have you ever docked before?
Well, with the mannequin I have of Conor McGregor, yes.
Nice.
Yes.
He has a foreskin?
Well, he's made of skin.
Oh, okay.
So, of various people.
Right.
Okay. I fashion
it. He has like a five skin because he pulls it over the neck.
Eames Edwards, ladies and gentlemen. Thug Jitsu in the house.
I know. I think it's cool that you look up to these guys so much.
You would pass up blowjobs for a week.
Yeah, that's
and meeting
cool.
Wrestlers, you know what? To be honest with you, not all of them are very nice. And unfortunately, because of the way they're scripted on television, like if they're supposed to be a bad guy, they will be a bad guy even off the air in person.
Why? What happened?
I have several of them. I went to WrestleMania last year, and the entire week I was there, I could name you a dozen that played their gimmick and were assholes off the air just because they were assholes on the air and they have to keep it.
Is there some female pro wrestler that you're a huge fan of?
Yeah, until she proposed to her boyfriend over the weekend.
Who was that?
I'm like, Paige.
She proposed to her boyfriend?
She proposed to Alberto Del Rio, who's the new Combate America's president.
Yeah. If you were to substitute.
What? You didn't need. Del Rio got signed as the Combate America's president.
I know.
So interchange her with Jessica Alba. Same question with the Conor McGregor thing.
Still, Conor could get me like eight at a time.
No, he wouldn't. He would get himself these blowjobs.
No, he wouldn't. He's got his girl that he's been with when he was nobody, and he don't fuck around on her.
Okay.
He knows. He's there.
Well, listen. If you liked our podcast, we are on Tip a Fighter. Adam Hunter on Tip a Fighter. Tip us if you were entertained by this podcast. This week, I will be at the comic strip in El Paso all week.
Yay!
Wednesday to Sunday.
Texas?
Yes.
Nice.
And then November 10th at the Cutting Room, New York City. November 10th, I will be there. Go to adamhunter.com for all my dates. I'm also going to Ohio coming up, and also Arizona. I'm going to the comic strip in Arizona, the House of Comedy. Arizona, House of Comedy in Phoenix, or Scottsdale. Scottsdale, House of Comedy, first week of November.
Nobody's going to remember that.
All right. The House of House.
People are just going to be driving around Phoenix.
They're going to go to the comic
There's no comic Phoenix. Strip. What is happening?
The House of Comedy. And every Monday and Tuesday, if you're in L.A., the Dime Bar.
Yeah.
It's off the chain.
You put together incredible shows, man. You really do
Thank you.
An amazing job booking that.
You want to come tonight to a set?
I can. I'm coaching.
All right. By the way, okay, so November, House of Comedy in Scottsdale. House of Comedy in Scottsdale, November 2nd to November 6th. Then the Cutting Room, and then I'm in Princeton, New Jersey, Catch a Rising Star, November 11th. Princeton, New Jersey, Catch a Rising Star.
It's a fun little room. I like that room.
Liberty Township, Funny Bone in Ohio, November 25th. To the 27th, and then New Year's Eve, that whole week, I am at the LA Comedy Club in Las Vegas. That whole week of New Year's, so if you're going to UFC, what is it?
207.
I will be there. What do you got coming up, Greg?
Right now, I am hanging around, enjoying Los Angeles.
Yes.
You know, I'll probably be at the Haha Comedy Club this weekend or something. We'll see how it all works out, but I'm just around hanging out. And don't forget, guys, if Eddie Alvarez wins, he said he was doing it for me for my birthday.
Happy birthday.
So that's I'm looking forward to that.
Eve, what do you got coming up?
I have a new episode of the Neutral Corner coming out Friday with Nick Lentz. And
nice.
We get away from some of the fight stuff. We talk about stuff besides punching and kicking. But
is he going to read his poetry?
No, he's not going to read any poetry on this one. And I'm starting a new podcast next week. It's not going to be about fighting. But it should be a fun time.
What's regardless. It about?
Is it going to be about black culture? Because I'll come on if you want me to.
I want you to come on.
Come
for
on,
sure.
That's right.
It's going to be about everything else. It'll have some fight talk in there, but we want to talk about everything.
By the way, I met your wife, by the way. Awesome. Beautiful lady.
Thank you, man.
Yeah, she's
awesome.
Highly in love with you.
She's the world champion of our house, and she's a doctor, so I have to.
Wow.
I've been lucky. Yeah. I got real lucky, so
yeah.
I'm going to try and keep that luck.
Yeah.
Keep that going. It's been a good thing.
Yes. And what do you got coming up, CB?
Nothing.
No, you got a YouTube show?
Yeah, I mean, I got my YouTube show, YouTube, SoundCloud, iTunes, going to record a new episode in the next few days. Every time I want to record an episode, I don't have enough news, and then within the next 2 or 3 days, I just get bombarded with new stuff to talk about.
Now, why don't you do your show 2 days later?
I wait till I have enough, and then I get so much, and I'm like, all right, I actually have to do this now. Yeah. But
I got to do my fantasy football podcast. That's coming out this week.
Which I actually have a funny story for you after.
Oh, is that right?
We're done. How's your team doing?
I'm great. One's 4-2, and I'm in, I think, third place in one league. The other one, I won
third
both
place.
Leagues.
And how many?
Out of 12.
Four. That's not bad.
Wait, are you going to tell me the other one? Are you going to tell me the other one you're 2-4 because you went against the number one scoring
player? No.
Again?
Finally, again, I was the highest scoring guy in the league, but this time I won, thank God. So I'm 3-3 in that league.
Okay.
But I'm on a hot streak. I'm going to dominate that league. That's going to be fine. And I want a little money on DraftKings.
Now, how coked up are you when you do your picks?
I don't really. I'm more stoned than coked up.
Okay.
So.
That's good.
Yeah.
You think maybe that
kind of gets
in the way?
Listen, coke, you got to save that for the right occasion.
Okay.
You don't just do that if I can make NFL
make decisions.
You know what that is? The waste of coke. Right. That's how much you don't know about it. I'm just going to sit here and do coke for this. No. You smoke weed for that. You do coke when you're out and there are girls. You know, it's a party.
All right.
You know.
Yeah. Maybe you stop doing coke.
I don't really do coke. It's like on the rarest of occasions.
Somebody said that the last podcast was hilarious because you talked about getting coked up while playing poker in the first 10 minutes and then your economic policies in the next 30 minutes.
Listen, I'm a well-rounded motherfucker. I've been on the planet 45 years.
What about the anal story near the end about the parents are down the hall?
Oh yeah.
This is what makes up the pattern of my life. This is the rich texture that is the Greg Wilson lifestyle.
Any new dates, by the way? Any chicks?
Yeah.
Me?
Yeah.
No.
Why not? You shave
any that
by
live
way,
to tell the tale?
This motherfucker drives one of the coolest cars I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, the Charger.
Challenger.
Whatever.
It's a cool ass. Have you seen his car?
It's American made.
You don't like it?
No.
Why?
I don't like American cars.
What do you have against American cars?
They generally break down.
So do you.
Exactly. Well, no one's driving a Greg. Are you driving the Greg Wilson?
He's his fiance.
He's going to stop every 30 minutes for cocaine and weed.
And if you're trying to make it to a fight, don't expect to be there early.
And don't expect to be on time because the Greg Wilson comes with an Adam Hunter engine.
That's hilarious. Listen, thanks for listening to our podcast. Thank you, Eddie Alvarez, the champ, for coming on the podcast.
That's right. Win for me, buddy.
You guys are the best. Take care. Bye-bye.